Welcome to Love and Lordship Live. I'm Greg Williams, your host, and thank you for joining us, for sharing us, and for following us as we desire to have many people grow in their walk with the Lord. That's our dream and our desire and our vision and our goal. So we thank you for helping us with that. Now, this week we're going to continue with our discussion on kingdom currency, which is loving relationships as it contrasts with the stuff and success of this kingdom and this world. All right? Our lives and the fruit of our lives reveals who is truly Lord of our lives and which kingdom we're living for. I think, and I'm kind of fired up about this, so you're going to hear it as I go through this, and when I do conferences or retreats or stuff, people go, well, you never like passion. I go, well, that's good, but I want it to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, so that's what comes through. But I really think that many people are missing this idea of loving relationships in Christ's kingdom, even as they sit or used to sit, now maybe watch online, in our churches. I think there are many that are in our churches today, and it's okay if they don't fully understand it yet, but it's not okay if we're not teaching this as part of discipleship so that people can understand what it means to build these kind of relationships and all the things that the world and the enemy and even our own selfish flesh throws at this. And so that's why we're going to contrast this, the kingdom currency of loving relationships versus the stuff and success of the world and how the enemy uses that and uses us. So, it's loving relationships versus stuff and success. You'll actually find that article, the full article, that's important, you'll hear me refer to it a couple times, on our website at www.loveandlordship.com, as well as the podcast and the video of this right here. So, appreciate you sharing that if you get a chance. You know, God's Word calls us to seek first, that's a key word, by the way, first, most important, His kingdom and His righteousness, that's Matthew 6:33, and to focus on that which is eternal rather than that which is temporal, 2 Corinthians 4:18. And so these commands should prompt, as a matter of fact, if we are disciples, remember, hundreds of commands, no demands, a loving God says, I have to give you the choice as to whether I'm going to give you the commands that you can live most fully by, but you have to lovingly obey for them to work. I will not force them. So as disciples, these commands require us to explore what the Spirit means in His Word when He speaks of eternal or kingdom things to ensure that we understand where we are investing our lives and the things of our lives. Does it make sense? So after a thorough search, and I did this years ago, but I've got actually a whole message on this called Kingdom Things, I found only three things. I almost did two. It said three, so that would have been great, right? I found only three things that exist on this temporal earth and in this temporal universe that are kingdom or eternal in nature. And they are simply this: God's Spirit, God's Word, and the souls of human beings. Everything else is temporary and will someday pass away. Only these three, God's Spirit, God's Word, and our souls, the souls of men and women, and they all are eternal, and they all exist in and for the purpose of relationships, loving relationships that make up His church and build His kingdom. So, I have two questions for you. I got that right, didn't I? Two questions for you and for me. What are you doing with His Word, with His Spirit, and with the souls of the people in your lives? And two, are you investing in what will last or in that which will someday perish? Now, that doesn't mean we can't have some stuff. I mean, as a matter of fact, we actually can use it to build relationships, but we've got to be extremely careful and discerning about that. See, God's Word shows a very clear contrast between His design and desire for loving relationships were made in His image, and the world's attraction to stuff and self, because the enemy uses that. Why? Because stuff and self is always at the expense of relationship. Always. Now, even if we're gaining the stuff and self to use for relationships, we have to take some time to go gain it. We just got to make sure we keep our priorities where God told us to keep them. You see, the two words in Scripture that best describe love, they literally defined as love, are in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word hesed, and in the New Testament, the Greek word agape. Those two words, when I say those, hesed and agape, both describe, I want you to catch this. This came to me while I was preparing this. This is awesome. You're going to love this. Easy way to remember it, okay? Both these words, hesed and agape, describe God's unconditional, sacrificial, unfailing, selfless. That's US squared. Us squared. Unconditional, sacrificial, unfailing, and selfless. Us squared, because his love is always exponentially toward us. I get goosebumps thinking about that when I think of the cross and I think of the grace that he's given me. Exponentially, he has unconditionally, sacrificially, unfailingly, and selflessly loved me and you. And it's his, that kind of loving kindness that's expressed in hesed and agape. Don't miss this. All other expressions of real love find their source in his love. 1 John 4:19. We love, I'm going to parenthetically add a word here, only, but it doesn't change anything. It only add makes it stronger. We love only because he first loved us. Hesed and agape, kind of love. We, in our culture and even in many of our churches, call a lot of things love that aren't. And we do it by either wrongly defining it and teaching it the wrong way, or ignoring what is the right way of teaching it and living it out and holding people accountable to that kind of obedience. And so very few people know. I run into them all the time in my conferences, retreats, one-on-one, in addiction facilities and prisons. Over and over, people scratching their head because they've never been taught what love really is. A big part of this is the reason for the contrast. I told you about stuff and success, and I'm going to tie this together. The contrast to love, hesed and agape, is actually lust. That's selfish desire rather than selfless giving of ourselves. Okay? And the word that best describes that in the Greek is the word porneia. Now you're going, whoa, that sounds pretty familiar. Well, it should, because our world is rampant with pornography or porn, and porneia is actually the root word from which that comes. And porneia stands for any and all sexual immorality. It goes even further in the scriptural context, in Jesus' own words, and includes a sexually immoral mindset. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, if you lust after her, if you dwell on her in your heart and mind already, you're already guilty of the physical sin of adultery. That and porneia, adultery is just one part of porneia, sexual immorality. You see, there are many fleshly lusts and desires that destroy the minds and hearts and relationships, ours and others. Jealousy, envy, hatred, pride, just to name a few. You can go look at Galatians 5:16 through 19 and get a more complete laundry list, okay? You'll find it there. All of those play a role. And many of them are encompassed and or exacerbated in porneia. It's the enemy's by far greatest ammunition in this battle for loving relationships that build the kingdom. So for this reason, I'm focusing on porneia with this understanding that all the other vices, the lust of the flesh, they must be accounted for in our lives, and along with porneia, must be overcome by our confession, our repentance, our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior and then as Lord, and overcome by His Word and His Spirit as we choose to nurture loving relationships that build His kingdom. Now, keep all of that in mind, that there are a lot of vices, a lot of lust, a lot of different sins. As you compare and contrast God's covenant order in building relationships and in living out sexuality properly, as he shows us in Scripture, with the way that the world and our selfish flesh does it apart from Christ. Now, I'm not going to talk about that much today because it's very clear, but I do have it in the full article. I told you I would reference that. The full article, Loving Relationships versus Stuff and Success, you'll see an outline of relationships and sexuality contrasting God's way, the kingdom way in the Word, with the world's way clearly defined in the Word, and how they contrast with each other, and how we build relationships, and how we're supposed to live out our lives sexually. Literally, God's Word has that. You will see what God has established for human relationships and sexuality, for His kingdom building, and you will see the contrast of that in the perversion of the enemy that they talk about in the Scripture that prevails in our hearts and minds apart from Christ. And every one of us would have to admit that. We have a clear choice to make, personally and relationally when it comes to whether we will follow the loving disciplines of His Word and His Spirit, or whether we will follow the lustful desires of our own flesh. Again, look at that outline. It makes for a great straightforward Bible study that contrasts God's Word and His kingdom with our world and our flesh when it comes to relationships, sexuality, and healthy communities. Boy, do we need that today, right? We need healthy people, healthy relationships, healthy communities. And Satan's number one ammunition and territory that he's gained in this battle is pornea. Paul said in his first letter to the church at Corinth in chapter 6, verse 18, as we know it, flee sexual immorality. The Greek word there for sexual immorality, flee pornea. And yet many will say, well, I put blocks on my computer and my phone. I've got accountability partners. Good, you're fleeing and running from the physical characteristics of it. But then many will say to me, but I can't get it out of my mind. And that's what Paul's pointing to here. It's much deeper than just, even though we need to do it, put the blocks and the accountability in place because it helps us. We all need that. But it goes so much deeper if we're going to truly flee or run from sexual immorality. He goes on to say this, and this is powerful. We need to hear it because we're seeing it all around us. Every sin a person does is outside the body, but the sexually impure sins against his or her own body. And folks, we're seeing that not only personally, but we're seeing that in communities and collectively in our nation and in our world today, as we have exported throughout this country and around the world false teachings about sexuality through Planned Parenthood, comprehensive sex education, and all those kind of things. They have distorted God's Word, claimed that it works, used false science, and promoted it to the destruction of many lives, many relationships, and future generations. And we, the church, need to stand up against it. That's why this is his greatest weapon, the enemy's greatest weapon. So let me continue with this thought. Hesed and agape, God's kind of love, and pornea and lust, our fleshly desires, cannot willingly coexist in your heart. One or the other will win out. So I ask the question, which are you choosing or willingly submitting to, regardless of how painful or ashamed you feel? And that's a key, because I deal with many people all the time that the enemy uses their emotions, and we have them. We do recognize that we're guilty of the sin, but even while we do it, we think that feeling bad about it is enough. We think, oh, I won't do that again because it was horrible and I'm shamed and I feel bad. And then a few days or a few weeks or a few months down the road, it comes back in and we give into it again. So you're not dealing with it the way God has given you the power to deal with it as a believer. If you're not a believer and struggling with it, text me, message me, I'll talk to you about it. You can't overcome it because it is devastating. I had one guy say to me, he was dating a national champion cheerleader. They're usually pretty cute, right? He was dating a national champion cheerleader and said, porn has everything Satan promised me, he's taken from me. I can't even get aroused for my championship cheerleader girlfriend. I'm just telling you the end results of what Satan does in this. That's just one story. I can tell you dozens, okay? Over and over again. So as we move through this, I do want you to understand this, that there's a difference between a stronghold and a struggle. A stronghold is something that you've given into over and over again. It's set up in your mind. Literally, it has a stronghold on your heart and your mind, controlling and dictating your thoughts and actions. Now, you may feel bad about it. You may express that. You may realize you're guilty and have shame. You may ask for forgiveness. But when the urge gets strong enough, you kind of toss that aside and go back into it because the stronghold keeps pulling you in. That's a stronghold. You may say you desire God's love and His forgiveness in your life, but you continually, and I don't mean that every moment of every day. I mean, you may even battle it a few times. But then you go, well, it's not going away. You know why it's not going away? Because you've allowed the stronghold to stay. You've allowed it to continue to control your thoughts and actions. You've just resisted it a little bit. Now, the enemy's going to use that, but God can also use it. Because what I'm going to tell you in a minute is you can turn a stronghold into a struggle and you can overcome them both. You see, the stronghold, we tend to say we want God's love, but then we continually choose, as 1 John 2:15 through 17 talks about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We go back to those over and over again. This is a stronghold. And Pornia is perhaps and probably the strongest one by far. You can never win if you keep playing that game. And Hesed and Agape, God's kind of love, cannot reign in your life if you continue to willingly, even if you back off a few times and come back, well, I couldn't beat it, so I'm going to give in again. God's love cannot reign in your life if you continually, willfully give in to Pornia or any stronghold. Remember I said we're focusing on Pornia, but there are other sins. All right? You must recognize it, quit deceiving yourself. That's Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And allow, surrender it to, and allow the Holy Spirit to conquer it by changing your motives, thoughts, actions, and decisions. Now, you may stumble, but you come back over and over again, knowing you're forgiven, knowing that you're exercising by faith the power of the Spirit in you, and you destroy the stronghold, and then when the struggle comes, you can handle it. Otherwise, the stronghold will cripple and destroy your life and every relationship you're in. That's the seed you're planting. A struggle, on the other hand, is something that you know comes against you, the temptation, the desire, but instead of giving in, you turn around and you battle it. You don't want it in your life, but you don't just let the emotions lead you and go, oh, well, I couldn't overcome it and give in. You can, instead of just following the emotions, you turn to the Word and the Spirit, surrender it to them instead of just trying to repress it in your own strength or just indulge it when you become a slave to it. So you may struggle with pornea or any of the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life. But you will fight against it, and you will choose accordingly because by faith, remember Dr. Tony Evans, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. By faith, you choose that truth, and you don't let your feelings or emotions overwhelm you. The fact that you felt bad about it just gives way to feeling really good about it until you realize you sinned again. That's what emotions do to us. So we've got to die to those, take up our cross, take up His Word, and surrender to that. Even though you may struggle, you will overcome in that faith as you surrender to Him. Now I'm going to share a little transitional thing because as I've shared with you, we're going to address some of the people that I've worked with. And I've got another one here today with some really good practical things that will help you, according to God's Word, overcome maybe some of the things in your life or you can share it with others. But there's a cultural issue that is very much kind of under the radar. And it's very pervasive in our culture, and the enemy loves this, absolutely loves it. And I'm going to call out a group here today because I started following them and like what they were doing. Because obviously there are porn sites and there's social media and there's magazines and all kinds of videos and views out there that you can go to for pornography. And so what the enemy does is say, yeah, you don't want that pornography. When he knows we're battling it for a while, he's very cunning. So he goes, yeah, put the block on that. Go ahead and have the accountability partner. And if it really gets bad enough, you can go back to it every once in a while. See, that's a stronghold still. Because you have that, as Arnold Glasgow said, you left the door intentionally open. So you knew the temptation was coming. You went right back to it when it got strong enough. But here's the issue. There's a group out of Utah, actually. And I followed them for a while, got their emails, and thought, man, they are really battling here, and I love it. It's called Fighting the New Drug. And they are standing strong against pornography. The problem is, like so many others, even many of our churches, they may talk about pornography, but let's not get down and dirty and talk about pornea, because many of the people sitting in our pews actually are dealing with pornea, and I'll mention some of those as I continue here. So I followed Fighting the New Drug, their emails. I got an email one day, and they started talking about healthy sexuality. But I noticed it was a pretty open concept for them, so I kind of read between the lines, and I said, I wrote back to him and said, I really appreciate the battle that you all are waging against pornography. But you mentioned healthy sexuality, and I'd like to know how you define that and what you think about marriage and sexuality and sex. And they immediately wrote back, we believe that healthy sexuality is any two consenting adults. Which is exactly what I thought they meant. Which is exactly what many people mean and what many of our churches refuse to address. I'm sorry, but they do. And I've got many people that are telling me this. You won't talk about it because there's so many people sitting there living it. How are they going to get set free if we don't abide in the Word and share that truth with them? So I wrote back and I simply said, I appreciate your battle against pornography, but here's my question for you. Do you realize that the root word for pornography is pornea, and it doesn't just include the hardcore or even the softcore stuff that we see in a magazine or on a video or social media? It includes any sexual immorality which God, the author, defines as sex outside of a one man, one woman covenant marriage for life. Anything outside of that is porneia, which means you can fight the battle up here and still be losing it down here on the foundation. And I said, and then I finished it by saying to them, by the way, if it's just based upon people that consent, why do you stop at two? I mean, if three or four adults consent, isn't it okay? You might say, well, then it gets unhealthy. But if two people consent, if they're not in a covenant relationship, how often does that break up and then they go choose another person to consent with? And then another person, and we do it through, I told you I'd mentioned some of these, serial monogamy. Oh, I got unhappy with her, divorced her, and then got married again. I did it God's way. And serial monogamy happened all over our country today, where people divorced and get remarried because they weren't happy. Remember, the standard's not happiness, it's holiness. And that's not holy. That doesn't mean they can't be forgiven. That doesn't mean that the divorce is a sin can't be forgiven and the remarriage is adultery can't be forgiven. But they need to understand it, and if they understand it, take that before the Lord, they're going to have a difficult time working through the different divorces and marriages and serial monogamy. What about cohabitation and promiscuity, or the good old King James word, fornication? It still exists out there, in case you were wondering. I know you weren't wondering because you see it everywhere. But what about cohabitation and fornication and promiscuity? What about just consensual one-night stands? That's healthy? No, because the author said, that's unhealthy. That's not the way this works. What about, let me ask you this, what about homosexuality? What about transgenderism? You see, we need to love them. But loving them is not saying it's okay when it's completely unhealthy, because the author said, I created you and I know what I created you for, and even came to earth as a man and said, when you struggle with it in your mind, you're already guilty, because he knew what it would do. So we give ourselves over these things, and so I wrote to them, I said, I hope you understand what I'm saying here to fighting the new drug, but I can't follow you anymore, because I need to find people that are standing on that truth and understanding porn for what it really is, any sexual immorality outside of God's design. Now, I'm going to close with that. I told you I'd move into a question and answer, so I got a few minutes here. I'm going to give you some feedback that I gave to a friend here. He said this to me, I greatly struggle with porn, and my wife basically told me she could go the rest of her life and not sleep with me, and she'd be fine. Whew, that's tough. That's really tough. My first response was this. I always ask questions to find out where they're coming from, because I want to challenge them and encourage them at the same time to really look at the root issues. I said, is this a response to you telling her that you're struggling with porn again? Or is this just a continued status quo of the struggles you've had and she's had? I knew some of that. Or maybe it's a bit of both. I wanted him to address that. Do you know where this is coming from? Is she just reacting to this momentary lapse that you've had? Or is it a combination of all the things that you've brought in together? And then he said, well, she has almost no sex drive. And I said, wait a minute, this can be worked on. And it's often as much as in the mind as it is in the body. So we could walk through and talk through that, but you as a servant leader and a husband have to be patient, gentle, and loving with her. And not let these issues of your porn problem or pornea problem, when it's in the mind a lot for this guy, or her struggle with that and what it's done to her libido, her drive, you can't let that affect you and make that a sticking point and her become your enemy. Because that's what the enemy will do. He'll use all that to pit you against your covenant partner in marriage in Christ. So be careful. Think on these things right now, rather than just trying to fix it and go, we're going to get back to a great sex life. Because it won't happen that way. You got to walk through these. You got to walk back out of them. Okay? So then he says, I know the nightmares of her past reverberate through this aspect of our relationship, sexual intimacy. And I want to be the kind of man that doesn't resent her for it. What did I just say? What will the enemy do? They'll use it. Resent her for it. But I believe I do. Deep in my heart, almost subconsciously. And here's my response. That's a natural response. But you must continue to go deeper and go into God and His Word and respond in the Spirit and truth and trust Him to forgive and heal you and her. You see, this is why loving relationships is the kingdom currency, and stuff and success and porneia, selfish desires, that's part of stuff and success, okay, are the enemy of that. They don't allow us to build that because, see, if you seek the truth and walk in the Word, you can overcome this. If you just try and cover it up, go ahead and have the sexual relations when they're not very pleasant or mutual, or you go, well, I'll find a way to win her back with more stuff or more goods or whatever, and that happens a lot of times. You're not going to win the battle. You got to go back to the Word, and the Lord will work through both of you, but you both must be willing to work through it in faith. I said that earlier, acting like God's telling the truth. You see, not naturally. Remember we started, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and I'll take care of your needs, and then do not think on the temporal things. We're not having good sex. That's temporal. But think on the eternal things. So how can I overcome it? Let's start with the eternal things. Let's start with the Word and the Spirit. Because we've been promised this in a covenant relationship. And so we're going to work through and find out how to love each other apart from this. So we can love each other more in this. I promise you that if you do that by faith, He will see you through. He tells us, Ephesians 5:21, here's some things you can do. I said to him, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I said, how are you going to do it when your natural feelings are, I'm struggling, I think almost subconsciously that I'm holding this against her. Now you've got to either choose that natural response or you've got to go back and choose the Spirit and the Word. Submit to her. Won't come naturally. Love her as Christ loved the church and gave His life up for her. Got to choose that. Won't come naturally because this is not just about your marriage. Paul went on to say in Ephesians 5, marriage is about Christ and His bride. That's how big this is. That's why pornea is such a destroyer of relationships and healthy communities, including the churches. All right? And then I put one more thing in there from 1 Peter 3:7. By the way, remember, if you want your prayers to be heard, you have to treat her with great respect and care. And literally, because you're the stronger vessel and she's the weaker vessel. And this is not equality. This is literally physically. This is the Greek word picture that Peter was talking about. You're an iron kettle, and she's a ceramic vase. And if you get into this and allow your natural responses to take over, you're going to crash into that lovely ceramic vase and destroy it. Crush her. You treat her with tender, loving care. Even if you're struggling in the natural, you choose the Spirit and treat her with tender, loving care. And watch what God begins to do in your heart first, husband, and then works through that to reach your wife and have her open up to you more physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That's the intimacy, see. By the way, if you're not doing that, your prayers are hindered and not answered, Peter said. And then he said this, I need the accountability that isn't just her. I need help. And he was being honest here, so listen to this. I apologize, but I'm going to say, I'm so pissed that I need to do that. I hate that I can't do this alone. So now we got another issue. Let's go back and look at this. I said, here, I'm going to, exactly what I said. Brother, we all need humility and accountability. I have mentors and accountability partners, and it helps me to check my thoughts and my actions and continue to grow in Christ and in loving fellowship with my wife, my family, my brothers, and others in Christ. Sounds pretty good. My wife, my family, my brothers, and others in Christ. No rap on that one, okay? And He helps us grow in that if we choose Him, you see? And we choose to do it with others. We're made for relationships. We're right back to loving relationships versus stuff and success, okay? We were created for this, and I'm going to give you three verses here that fight against the pride and toward relationships. Galatians 6:1-5. Carry each other's burdens and don't be prideful. I just summed all five verses up in two phrases. Carry each other's burden, and you can't do that if you're prideful. Toss out the pride. Be humble. Remember, humility is confident and content in who you are so you can lift others up, so you can carry their burdens. There we go. James 5:16 says this, confess your faults to one another that you might be healed. And I said to him, thank you for doing this. Thank you for being willing to be open and honest, because we can go back to the root issues here. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage and build each other up. Don't run from it. That's what the natural men do. I can't believe I'm pissed that I have to have this and I can't do it on my own. That's the enemy's way. That's the natural way. That's the fleshly way. Don't run from it. Run to it. Humility, encouragement, and loving relationships. And then he closed it saying this, this is something that terrorizes me from the moment I wake up. And I simply said, remember that whatever you've willingly submitted to in your life ultimately has control over you. That's why the Lord says we must willingly choose to die to ourselves, take up our cross, surrender and submit ourselves, our fleshly desires to Him, take our thoughts captive, renew our mind, so that the Spirit controls our life. When we have something that we have given into that controls us, is master over us, we have to both work in His strength to recognize continually and overcome the struggle that we've given into, and choose over and over again to change our thinking and follow through according to His Word. 1 Peter again 5, 6 and 7 says we must humble ourselves and cast our cares on Him and anxieties because He cares for us. You can follow your natural flesh, or you can follow the Spirit and the Word. Many choose the flesh and the natural response when they're going through this, and then they work so hard to cover it up, don't miss this, with stuff and success and make it look like it's good. That's the currency of this world, this false kingdom that the enemy peddled to us. Rather than overcoming in the Spirit and choosing to build great loving relationships in His Word, His truth and love, which is the currency of His kingdom. No wonder the enemy tries so hard to get us to choose the stuff, the success, the lust, the flesh, so we can't see and engage in His real love and build His kingdom. What is the seeking, sowing, and the fruit of your life? I asked this question earlier. What are those things revealing about the priorities of your focus? Are they for His kingdom or for this world and Satan's deceptions? Take the time to evaluate and adjust that so you are truly a kingdom disciple seeking Him and His truth above everything else. Matthew 6:33, seek first My kingdom and My righteousness. And here's two things you can do as action items. Number one, in your daily quiet time, I hope you're doing it every day, 5 to 10 minutes, but don't miss a day. And throughout your day, ask the Lord, say, Lord, reveal to me where my priorities actually lie based upon what I focus on and how I make my decisions. And then two, as He reveals those areas, write them down and ask Him for strength, humility, and wisdom to place His kingdom and His truth and righteousness first in those issues and in your relationships in every part of your life. Don't forget, full article at www.loveandlordship.com. I actually have some great resources in there too for people that are battling with this. Contact us, loveandlordship@gmail.com. Sorry about that. Love and Lordship, I got about 22 emails, so I'm trying to figure out which one. loveandlordship@gmail.com. Okay, or 859-229-6504. 859-229-6504. Thanks for your continued prayers. If the Lord stirs your heart, I've also got in the comments a way you can give online to help us reach our goal and finish out this year strong. We want to reach more people with this message, build up loving marriages and families and relationships in His church so the world will see a difference. Love and Lordship is here for that reason, to help you live joyfully and have fulfilling, healthy relationships in the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't charge anything for the teaching, for the counseling, or the mentoring. Some people help us out. If you feel led to do that by the Spirit, we'd appreciate it if you do that. We desire to make disciples who make disciples in every home and church in His love and lordship. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ.